single day and night.
Ridiculous.
Party like it's 95. Matter of fact, I think it's about that time.
Hi guys, welcome to Ridiculous Sports. We are first-time podcasters, and our podcast is going to be all about sports. My name is Jacob Tenson, and my co-host here is...
Nick Napper.
We both go to Minnesota State University Moorhead and are majoring in broadcast journalism and minoring in sports communication. We are both sports nuts and talk about sports all the time, so we decided we could share our thoughts with all of you and our thoughts about the sports world. Our first topic here is the NBA offseason.
And obviously, biggest thing here, probably one of the few ones to start off the off season is where was LeBron gonna go? LeBron is officially a Laker. Along with him, Stephenson, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley also joined the Lakers.
They're gonna be his little minions or whatever, and I'm not surprised to see LeBron go into the Lakers after you've seen that he already had one or two houses in LA, and then he had transferred his son Bronny Jr. to school in LA as well. And so that, like I said, that doesn't surprise me. And then the one thing that really pissed me off about his minions that he got is Lance Stephenson, who was like the one guy who could get underneath LeBron's skin, and now he's going to be his teammate, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and with that, I mean, they could make each other more competitive, but also at the same time, will they get argumentative with each other, and will they, end up fighting to the point to where LeBron ends up, telling Magic Johnson that Lance needs to go.
Yeah, and LeBron is supposed to be getting able to put his two cents into everything that happens, whether it's a trade or free agent signing. Just like he did with the Cavs, he's going to be the coach/GM, even though Magic's supposed to be running the team. It's going to be LeBron now.
Yeah, I mean that's basically like a player assistant GM right there. It's just kind of a weird situation that, he's new to the team, but, I guess Magic Johnson must respect him enough to let LeBron put his two cents in. Considering he is probably going to go down as one of the greats of time.
Top two or top three player of all time, yeah. In that sense, it makes sense, but at the same time, you kind of want to let people do their jobs, and LeBron just takes over everybody else's jobs.
Exactly. Another one here. Let's see here. We got Paul George staying in Oklahoma City, staying there with Russell.
I thought they were going to be good this last year, but it seemed like Carmelo Anthony just wasn't the Carmelo Anthony they were hoping for. So maybe Russ, the big three of Russ, Paul George, and Steven Adams will be better than the big four with Carmelo. But
Melo was just kind of a waste of time for that entire team. You look across the board, and he was just the guy that kind of like was just on the court because they needed someone to fill a spot for the most of the season.
Yeah, he still thought he was the old Carmelo too, so he was taking probably too many shots than he should have been.
Yeah.
And taking away shots from Russ and Paul George.
Yeah. Now Carmelo is going to be a Rocket, or he's going to, he was traded and then he was released and... apparently he's going to be a Rocket here probably tomorrow.
In the very near future.
Yeah, in the very near future. I don't know how that's going to go, but...
The Rockets almost needed to have a small forward because they got rid of... or Trevor Ariza went to the Suns, and I don't remember where P.J. Tucker went, but he's gone too.
Yeah.
So they're out of small forwards, so they needed someone, and... maybe Melo will work better in with the Rockets because I guess they're more of like a 3-point shooting team. That's kind of Melo's game. So
and a lot of people are just getting overhyped the fact that Melo and Mike D'Antoni are getting back together. I don't know how that's even close to a good idea.
Yeah.
By any means.
Back with the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony was the whole reason Mike D'Antoni left. So.
Yeah. Another big news, Kawhi was traded to the Raptors for DeMar DeRozan and...
DeRozan.
The
trade was, it was Kawhi, Danny Green, and a pick, I believe, for DeMar DeRozan. Or no, there wasn't a pick. That's really bad. Really bad there. It was DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a pick for Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, short term, it may seem like the Raptors won that trade, but I don't know how they... I mean, you can't guarantee that Kawhi is going to stay there.
If Kawhi does stay, then the Raptors won that trade, but it seems like Kawhi really wants to go to LA next year, or he wanted to go there even this year, but the Lakers are confident that Kawhi is coming, so at the end of the day, I feel like the Raptors just made a scared move. They didn't know what to do, so they tried trading for someone. The LeBron stopper, but LeBron's gone.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, they made a couple moves. I mean, they got, you know, they signed Gordon Hayward last year, and yeah, he broke his leg right away.
His ankle.
Ankle, leg, same same difference. But, you know, it seemed like that they felt like they needed to make a move right then and there.
Yeah.
Let's see here, and then next one we got here, Isaiah Thomas to Denver, on a veteran's minimum 1 year salary.
I that one just blows me away, because Isaiah Thomas 2 years ago was maybe fifth on the MVP candidate race.
Yeah.
Or fourth
something
or fifth.
Like that.
And then he goes to Cleveland, where LeBron just ruins his career basically. Granted, he had the hip injury, and people were saying he came back too soon.
Yeah, and well, he also, I mean, it was kind of hard, because it almost seemed like, you know, he just wasn't playing, even when he was healthy. It didn't seem like he was out there that much, or as much as he was with the Celtics.
He wasn't getting the right amount of playing time. And then he went to LA too, and nothing worked there, because he was...
Lakers were a joke last year. Lakers were a joke for the last few years.
Yeah, and he had to be a backup point guard to Lonzo Ball, who hasn't proven to me that he's going to be a good player in the league.
Yeah, it's definitely a... We're going to avoid that topic altogether, I guess. let's see, our next one we have here probably made the most people in the world mad all at once. DeMarcus Cousins went to Golden State to join the...
already ridiculous Big Four. Now they're a Big Five.
Yeah, and I mean, they were already unbeatable, you know.
Yeah, the one position they were lacking at was the center position. Yeah.
And even there, it wasn't even, you know, it was just, you know, a player that could get the job done for what they needed.
Yeah, and now they have another superstar in DeMarcus Cousins. I got the news while I was driving back home, and I literally yelled in my car for a solid half hour just after I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, just around the league, everybody was just like, that was just kind of a cop-out, you know. Every analyst was just like, yeah, he wants to go get that, you know, championship ring, because championship rings are now apparently more important than any other thing that you could possibly do.
Yeah, it makes sense, because, I mean, yes, people want championships, but at the same time, like, in my mindset, it would be like, oh, hey, I want to beat the best team in the league. I don't want to join them. I want to beat them.
Yeah, I guess that's... guess that's some player's mentality about some things there.
Yeah.
So, on a minor note here, DeAndre Jordan actually signed with the Mavs this time. But there was another player that was pulling DeAndre-esque moves on the Mavs. Yogi Ferrell did exactly what DeAndre did. Said he was going to re-sign with the Mavs, and then backed out and going to sign, or is already signed, with the Kings.
It's just, I mean, Yogi's a decent, and he's probably like a decent backup point guard. Potentially could be a starting point guard, but it's just kind of funny that it just happens to the Mavs again. with a player that would have gotten significant minutes. And then, I mean, kudos to the Mavs for actually getting DeAndre Jordan this time, we think, anyways.
Yeah. Good job.
Because that's a position that they were lacking at, too, was the center position.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, a couple other moves that were made. Julius Randle was... He was released from the Lakers, I believe, right?
They just didn't match the offer.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, the Pelicans came in, swooped him up, you know, try to use him as a replacement for Cousins.
Yeah. Well, they made that, they signed Randle before DeMarcus decided to go to the Warriors, which, looking at it then, it wasn't that great of a move. But looking at it now, it's a really, really smart move on their part.
So, I mean, you kind of wonder if they didn't have, like, a heads up that he wasn't going to re-sign.
Yeah, they might have known already.
Another one we have, I mean, we already, you know, touched on it. Trevor Ariza is on the Suns now. They're definitely a team that you could consider a contender out there, I believe.
Well, yeah, they really revamped their roster, getting DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges in the draft. And now they have Trevor Ariza, who could kind of help. He's kind of like the same player as Mikal Bridges is, and they could really... Change his mindset.
And then to add on to that, I mean, you got Devin Booker, who, I mean, he was great last year, I thought. I mean, at least he was, you know, better than most. let's see here. And then we got Howard to the Wizards. If you guys haven't heard the remarks he made about his career path so far, let's just say... He learned it. He got his money learning magic, and then fell apart when he took it to the big show in L.A. Then tried to light a fire underneath his rocket, but fell out of the sky. found a hawk's nest and got his eyes poked out, basically. And on his way out of the hawk's nest, he fell and hit a hornet's nest, and he got stung by them a few times. So now he's going to try the whole magic thing again with the Wizards.
It's a good move for the Wizards, being that they just traded away Marcin Gortat. But Howard just never has been the guy to push a team to their full potential. Like, they have John Wall, they have Bradley Beal, they have Otto Porter. I don't think Dwight Howard's the next guy to push them to the championship level team they want to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the Wizards did make a move pretty much right away in the offseason, it seemed like. You know, they traded for Rivers, or they traded for Austin Rivers, son of Doc Rivers. They, you know, sent Gortat over to the Clippers.
Yeah, and then Gortat obviously fills the spot of DeAndre Jordan, who's leaving the Clippers to sign with the Mavs, as we said. So, I mean, it makes sense for both teams, like getting Howard and getting rid of Gortat. And I also think it's kind of funny that Doc Rivers is trading his own son to different teams, saying basically, it seems like he's saying that he doesn't think Austin's that good anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it looks like to me, anyways.
Yeah, it's exactly what it seems like. I mean, that's gonna be a pretty awkward Thanksgiving Christmas time, especially if they end up, you know, the Clippers, you know, end up playing the Wizards. I mean,
yeah, that definitely will make it awkward.
That's for sure.
So now we got another segment. We're gonna got some bold predictions. Do you want to start off?
Sure, I'll start off here. This is for pretty much any sport. We all just kind of picked random, or we both kind of just picked random things that we considered bold strategies or moves. First one I have here is the Minnesota Twins will trade Brian Dozier.
Okay. Yeah. So now we're going to move on to another segment called Bold Predictions, and we'll have Nick start it off.
All right, so this is just basically on any sport. You know, we're not, you know, it's just kind of random, bold predictions we may see. First one I have here, it's been rumored for, you know, last couple years the Twins have been losing, is that they're going to trade Brian Dozier, and I believe that will happen this year.
Yeah, I was thinking about adding that one to my list too, but I didn't think it was too bold of a prediction because I felt like it was kind of inevitable. yeah. It's going to happen anyways.
I mean, you look at the Twins, I believe, honestly, it should have happened, you know, 2 years ago when they lost 100 games.
Yeah. Granted, next year we had a stellar season, but...
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, this year I think it's either you got to trade him to get something out of him, or, you know, trade him to get some prospects, because, I mean, he already said at the beginning of the season that he's going to, you know, test the free agent waters.
Granted, you know, that could mean that he could come back to the Twins, maybe, and even if he could have something worked out that we trade him, he spends the season with someone, and maybe he'll come back to the Twins anyways.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. So my first one here is sticking with Minnesota sports here, trading our stars. I think Jimmy Butler's going to get traded to the Celtics.
All right. That is definitely bold. Because, I mean, they're already talking about Jimmy Butler and Kyrie joining up and playing on the Knicks.
They've been talking about the Knicks. But I've seen this is actually could be legitimate because... I've seen Celtics kind of sending offers our way for Jimmy Butler because obviously the Celtics want to keep Kyrie Irving too.
Yeah.
And if they get Jimmy Butler, they have Jaylen Brown there, but that'll probably be one of the pieces we get from there.
Yeah.
So, and Jimmy Butler is definitely an upgrade at the shooting guard position.
I mean, you look at it, I mean, you get Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, and Gordon Hayward. 1, 2, 3. I mean, we don't know how exactly Gordon Hayward's going to come back after that ankle injury, but, mm-hmm. I mean...
And then they also have Jason Tatum, who... I don't know how they'd work that out, too, because Jason Tatum is definitely a starter in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
So you maybe have to play Gordon Hayward at the four, Tatum at the four, and then you have Al Horford. Yeah. Granted, you're going to have a small lineup there, but
yeah,
it's going to be a hell of a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be happy with that lineup no matter what. I mean, that's definitely... something that, you know, would put them at the top contenders in the East.
They're number one in the East right now as it is.
Yeah.
If they get Jimmy, they actually could beat the Warriors, but probably not.
Yeah, exactly. would Gordon Hayward be able to guard Kevin Durant?
That's the thing. All right, what's your next one?
Next one here I have is... bold prediction, New York Yankees will not get past the American League Divisional Series.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the AL is pretty strong this year. So, I guess it kind of comes down to who they match up with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so far this season, you know, they've won most of the games against the Red Sox. They have a better record with versus the Red Sox than they do versus the Rays and Orioles. I mean, the Orioles are 42 games out of first place, so that's why they're selling Machado and Britton, and, you know, there's more players to come from them selling, I guess, is what I've been hearing. But, I mean, you know, I think in the end, I mean, the Red Sox, I think they have better starting rotation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have better all-around players, and I mean...
They have more consistently better players than the Yankees do. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are solely based on power.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the only weak spot so far for the Red Sox would be that second base position, which, I mean, they're one of the top people also who's talking about getting Brian Dozier. Because, I mean, he's obviously a solid defender, a solid hitter. I mean, he fits well with pretty much any organization. He's a team guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. My next one is the Los Angeles Lakers will sneak into the playoffs with the 8 seed, and then they'll obviously get swept by the number one seed of the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, they have LeBron, and that's the only thing they have fighting for him to be a higher seed. But, I mean, Kuzma, I mean, is he...
It's been 1 year. You don't know.
It's been 1 year, and, you know, he's mad about his 2K rating, but it's a video game, for God's sakes. What is he, you know, is he actually what we think he is?
Yeah, I think he was a better rookie than Lonzo was.
Oh, for sure.
So that's one thing. I think the Lakers are going to be, they'll obviously be better than they were this last year. I think the pieces that LeBron has are better than the pieces he had in Cleveland. It's just that they're so young that I don't think they're going to be able to consistently do it for 82 games.
Are we talking about the beginning of last season for the Cavaliers or the end of last season for the Cavaliers? Because LeBron really made that team move, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's going to be kind of the same way this year again, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one I have here. Gordon Hayward will come off his injury with a career year.
I can see that. I mean, he was already, like, posting videos of him shooting and working out, like, halfway through the season, like, and he was supposed to be, like, not even moving it at that point.
He was doing full, like, sprints and stuff up and down courts.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I think he's already going to be – he'll be ready. He's maybe even ready right now. Like, if the NBA season was going on, he could be coming back, like, any time now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that kind of shows also as well as – you know, how well the NBA and all the trainers and all of the, you know, doctors and stuff, how well they are doing. I mean, besides the Spurs, but, you know, that whole deal with Kawhi, and I guess apparently now Danny Green is saying that he played with a hamstring tear for an entire season. But, you know, it shows how far they've come in, like, you know, technology to get these athletes back to peak performance and whatnot, too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, my next one. This one's pretty bold. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the MVP of the league and take the 49ers back to the playoffs for the first time since 2013.
Okay. I mean, I can definitely see it. I mean, that offense, I mean, they have wide receivers kind of now.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they have McKinnon in the backfield, who's a good receiver too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they definitely did a good job this offseason of making sure they could get him targets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even with the team he had last year, he won every single game he played.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, a lot of people are just like, oh, it's only, you know, he only played like four games or however many games he played. But, you know, I mean, he did good in those games.
And it's not like they were playing, like, I think a couple teams they played weren't top-tier teams, but I think they played a couple playoff teams, and they obviously beat him because he's undefeated.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can definitely see it. Only thing is, I mean, I don't really know about the 49er defense. I guess
they don't
have the defense they had when they made that run at the NFC Championship game. Let's see here. Next one here, I have, and it is, I think it's a bold prediction, even though the man is 40 years old, but I believe Tom Brady will start to begin his decline.
Yeah. I was gonna put something about Tom Brady too. I don't know how he did it last year, but he had a MVP caliber year
again.
And I mean,
without deflating balls,
he's got to start declining at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you think about him. You know, 40 years old. I mean, you think he's, you know, he's taken a lot of hits. He's taken a lot of beatings. I mean, he hasn't always had the best offensive line out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of it, he's also been saved with good wide receivers. I mean, Randy Moss, he had him for, what, 2 or 3 seasons or something like that. And now, I mean, he's had Gronkowski, and, I mean, he had Aaron Hernandez before his whole...
his whole ordeal.
His whole... yeah. but, I mean, it's... I mean, Tom Brady, 40 years old, and he, you know, he still feels like he can, you know, go out there and play. I mean, Brett Favre was kind of the same way. He hit 40. He's like, I can play. And he had one more good season with the Vikings. And then he tried doing it one more time. And, you know, Brett Favre obviously, you know, didn't last that long that season.
Yeah. I think he still has another couple of years. Like, I don't think he'll be as good as he has been.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. If they have a decent line, they'll have it.
Yeah, I think if they win a Super Bowl either this year or next year, he's going to retire after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
My next one, speaking of the Super Bowl, I think the Vikings are going to make it to the Super Bowl, but they're going to lose it. Just fans down one more time.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And, you know, at that point in time, I mean, they'll probably lose it and then announce they're going to move to another state.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they threatened that before they got the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they definitely have a good-looking team on paper. I mean, obviously getting Kirk Cousins, a guy who's, you know, he's better than what, you know, the Redskins originally thought when they had RG3.
Yeah.
Who turns out his prime was in his 20s, early 20s, and that was it.
And people are saying that Kirk isn't worth the money, but if you look at how Kirk played with the Redskins, they didn't have hardly any targets, hardly any good targets. They had Jordan Reed, and then that was basically about it. But now he's coming to the Minnesota Vikings. He has Dalvin Cook, who's a good receiver out of the backfield, if he recovers good from his injury. And he has Stephon Diggs, who, if he's hot, can be a top five receiver. And they have Adam Thielen, who's, when he's hot, can be a top five receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have Kyle Rudolph, who's a 6'7" mammoth of a man.
Yeah. And then also, along with that, I mean, you look at Laquon Treadwell. If they start, you know, he had that amazing one-handed catch in that game last year. Yeah. It was just like, I don't understand how he caught that. But, you know, if he starts getting into the mix, I mean, will we eventually just start going to a four wide receiver offense, or, you know, what would we do there?
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings have always been, you know, run as much as we can, and, you know, hope to God our quarterback can throw the ball to our right receiver and not the defense. But
I feel like it's going to be different this year since we actually have a quarterback. We have a quarterback that we paid a boatload of money.
Yeah. paid more than enough money to throw a ball for a living. And meanwhile, you know, I'm making $12 an hour at a Valvoline up here. Wishing I was him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Next one we have, let's see here. Bold prediction for sure, I think, would be Wizards will finish in second in the East.
Really?
Like I said, it's a bold decision.
That is bold.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
I definitely think the Celtics are going to be number one, and I can't see the Raptors not making the number two seed with Kawhi.
Yeah, but I mean.
I'd say the Wizards are going to be a solid four seed, like, once again, because Sixers are, if they play like they did last year, they're going to be that three seed more than likely.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
unless
Dwight Howard turns into Superman again. I mean, you look at John Wall and Bradley Beal. I mean, they're two good players. I mean, Beal can hit the shot from pretty near anywhere on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And Wall, I mean, he's kind of back and forth. I mean, he's really good one game, and then he can be absolutely terrible the next game, it seems like.
Well, terrible on his standards. Average. He's consistently okay, and then he always has that stellar game every once in a while.
Game he gets, you know, 48 points, you know, 12 assists or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. So, I mean, they could, but I don't see it.
I mean, another key factor, I think, is, you know, Otto Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He's a smaller name. I mean,
he's gotten a lot better over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, his rookie year on him,
he didn't do much.
He really wasn't a player.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have the pieces, but it's just it doesn't seem like John Wall got injured this year. I think Bradley Beal was out for a while the year before.
Yeah,
and I think Otto Porter was out a little bit too.
Yeah, and I think. Wallace's contract is up at the end of the season, if I think I'm right. I could be completely
I believe that's correct. we don't fact check here.
Yeah. We just guesstimate, because he's been in the league for however long. We just kind of guess he's at the end of it.
Well, my next one is, I think the Young Guns and the Braves, they're going to make it to the World Series this year.
I mean, they're definitely, you know, putting on a show down there in Atlanta. I mean, they got a lot of young talent. I mean, them basically destroying their team and starting from the ground up.
Because, I mean, if you look at the NL, there's nobody that's, like, way above anybody else.
Oh,
there's a couple teams that are like, oh, yeah, they're good, but they're not. Like,
they're not exceptional. They're not, you know, the Red Sox right now, or they're not the Rock or the Astros of last year.
Yeah.
I mean...
So, I mean, because, I mean, I feel like anybody could make it to the playoffs in the NL. I think whoever wins out of the AL is going to win the World Series.
No doubt. I mean, unless, you know, the Dodgers get, you know, another couple key pieces.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's the only way.
Because Machado is a really big really big person to get before.
I mean, the biggest hole for the Dodgers, like the Red Sox, was second base. But, you know, they traded for Machado, who's going to be at shortstop, and then...
They're going to move Kiki to second?
Kiki kind of plays wherever Kiki plays, and then they were going to put Forsythe, or I think that's him. They're going to move him from short to... Or no, Taylor. They're going to move Taylor from shortstop to second.
Okay.
Let's see here. I have the Eagles will not win the NFC Championship.
I could see that. They didn't make any big moves, and like the Vikings should, in my opinion, I guess I'm kind of, we're Minnesota fans, so I guess we're kind of biased that way, but I think Minnesota should have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know what happens to, you know, the best defense in the NFL at that point in time, and how they just collapsed after, you know, first half of the Saints game, basically.
Yeah, that was our worst game that we ever had the whole season, and it just happened to be against the Eagles in the NFC Championship
game. Nick Foles, and I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did good for his team, but, you know, they were doing little warm-up passes to begin the game, and then...
And then they just had a couple big balls that...
Yeah,
really ruined us.
Yeah, and then I mean, congrats to them. I mean, their coaching staff obviously knew how to use both their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Obviously, us being up in the Fargo area, we hear plenty
about Carson Wentz.
Plenty of Carson Wentz. I mean, every store you go into, you see, you know, Carson Wentz. You know, it's either a Bison jersey or an Eagles jersey.
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the place. I think he would have been MVP, in my opinion, if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, if he would have screwed up his knee again, he would have been...
And I think the Eagles are going to be good again this year. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, though.
Exactly. Let's see here.
My next one, I have Sam Bradford once again is going to get injured for the Cardinals week one. Just like he did again for the Vikings. And Josh Rosen will step in, and he's going to be the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year.
I could see it. It's Sam Bradford.
It's Sam Bradford, exactly.
He had a good start to the season.
He had a really good first game.
Yeah, really good first game. Injured the next game. Sat out. He tried to start the one game, and... He just couldn't do it, and they put Case Keenum back in, the Vikings. Which obviously was a good idea for them.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't think Josh Rosen is the best quarterback. Or rookie quarterback.
I feel like he was a gamble in a way.
Yeah, I feel he's either going to be Aaron Rodgers, kind of that douchebag kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
Or he's just going to be a complete bust.
Yeah, like, exactly.
He's kind of an Aaron Rodgers type player, like he could be that good. Like he's one of the better rookie quarterbacks. There's all the rookie quarterbacks this year are really good. Like even Lamar Jackson, he could. Like the Ravens are talking about doing that two quarterback offense system, or whatever, which I think is like I think they should go for it. It'd be really hard to defend.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I mean, it would be.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and Lamar Jackson was quick. He could play. He didn't want to play receiver, but if he can play quarterback and play receiver, I think he'd be fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagine all the play possibilities that they could make off of that.
Yeah.
I mean, and even like Kansas City, I mean, they got rid of Alex Smith for what they think is the next, you know, best quarterback of a generation.
Patrick Mahomes, I think he'll be a hell of a player too.
I mean, there's solid potential there, that's for sure. I mean, he's got speed. I mean, he's got hell of an arm.
Yeah, one game in when he played for Texas Tech, I was watching that, and he had like almost 500 yards passing, five touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
granted, college football the defenses are kind of a joke, but
that entire game though was a shootout. But I mean, for you know him to do that, I mean, I think it's he's definitely going to be a guy to watch this upcoming season, especially for fantasy. I mean, you can get rushing and you can get passing.
Fantasy tip 101 right there.
Right there. don't take it from me. I didn't do well last year, but...
you got any more?
Bold prediction here.
Was it off the top of your head?
Yes.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Could you tell because I kind of leaned forward? The Browns will win more games this year than they have in the past 3 years combined.
Well, that doesn't take much.
So that's like a solid four wins.
Yeah,
like four wins at most.
I actually think the Browns will go at least 8-8 this year. I'm going to say that's my bold prediction. I think they're going to go at least 8-8.
Then who's going to take their place at number one?
I don't know.
I mean,
probably the Dolphins. The Dolphins don't have anybody.
That's true. They had that one player, but then they traded him to the Browns.
Yeah, they had Jarvis and they had Jai.
Yeah, that guy.
No, he's with the Eagles.
We don't talk about him.
So my last bold prediction here, it's not that bold. It's kind of an obvious one. The Warriors are going to win their third straight title.
Oh, my God.
I actually tweeted out once DeMarcus got signed. I tweeted out breaking the Warriors win their third straight title.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody's going to beat that team.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, they thought the Heat were a super team when LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
They were back then.
They were a super team.
That was the definition of a super team back then.
I mean, you know, and LeBron got so much flack for, you know, not being able to do it to himself or, you know, do it by himself or whatever, but
now Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins are following in his footsteps.
Yeah. I mean, it's pathetic league now. Every you know, good player is in the West besides, you know, like five players at most.
There's only a couple people in there, and those, even those people, like there's three of them on the Celtics, two or three, arguably, and then Kawhi now is with the Raptors, and then you got Simmons and Embiid with the Sixers, and that's about it.
Yeah,
you got Wall and Beal, as we had talked about earlier, with the Wizards. Yeah. There's just a couple people, and even them, like they're not necessarily superstars. Like they're definitely stars in the league.
Yeah,
but they're not ones
that you. You know, it's kind of a thing like, yeah, they might have been a good thing to start your franchise around, but looking back at it, you know, it probably wasn't that smart.
Yeah. All right. I think we are out of bold predictions now.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. That was pretty bold there.
Yeah, right there.
So you want to tell us what the next one is?
Next segment we have here on our show today, we have this contenders or pretenders.
In the MLB.
Is what we did is we took the hottest 10 teams in the MLB right now.
We picked a number. We just did anybody who's...
Yes. There's this last 10 games.
There's the supposedly hottest teams in the MLB.
I mean, let's see here. We got Pittsburgh, Oakland, Colorado, Minnesota, Boston, Houston, Chicago White Sox, the Phillies, Marlins, Mets, Dodgers, and Rockies. A couple of them are obvious. You know, they're already, like, out. By, you know,
they just happen to have a nice little stretch, but there's no way they're gonna make the playoffs.
I mean, Marlins, Mets, no way that they're gonna make the playoffs. I mean, Twins, they're not. I mean, they're gonna sell hard.
Yeah.
White Sox, obviously, they're gone.
I think like the Pirates are really hot right now. I think they're like 9-1 over the last 10.
Yep.
And I think they can actually sneak into the playoffs. I think they'll make it. And the Mets actually have a decent shot. Even in getting rid of Andrew McCutchen, they're still doing good.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I think it's, you know, it's just a hot stretch for them. A lot of teams have that hot stretch right after the All-Star break. A lot of teams have that cold stretch out of the All-Star break. I mean, I think we're kind of seeing that right now. I mean, they're not 10 games out of the All-Star break at all yet anyways, but you know, I mean, I don't think Pittsburgh has enough to get to the playoffs pitching wise.
Well, yeah, I think they're gonna sneak into the playoffs and then they'll probably lose first round or the wild card game.
Yeah, exactly. Next one we have here, Oakland. They are, I believe they're like 24-7 in their last, you know, 31 games.
Yeah, something around that.
You think they're
a pretender or a contender?
I think they're a contender, in all honesty.
I have them as a pretender.
They are in the wild card hunt. They're like a half game out, I believe.
Well, that seems like that's them every year, though.
Yeah.
Well, and then they just fall apart right at the end of the season and just barely miss the playoffs, which I think is what's going to happen again.
Yeah. I mean, it could definitely happen, but also at the same time, I mean, they're just getting hits. I mean, they're getting hits, and I mean, apparently they're pitchers are doing decent enough to put him in games and whatnot. Let's see here. Wild card. Oakland is 2 games out.
So even with their hot stretch, they're still not into it yet.
Yeah, but they're close. That's
they're
all
close.
That counts.
They're close.
I mean, all they got to do is find a way to get past the Mariners or the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, then I have the next two are Red Sox, Nationals. They're obvious contenders. Yeah. They're two of the best teams in the MLB, in my opinion.
I think that's got to be the, American League Championship series right there.
That's what I'm thinking. It's going to be a two.
That's going to be a freaking showdown right there. I mean,
big bats, big arms, and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it's going to be high scoring. I don't know if it's going to be low scoring.
Yeah, exactly. let's see here. Colorado. They're trying to sneak into the wild card. That entire NL West is very close. I do think that some of the closeness has to do with, the Dodgers just their awful start this year. Mm-hmm. And then, they finally picked it up.
Yeah, I don't think I think the Rockies are pretenders.
Yeah, I have them as a contender because, okay. They do have, they have Arenado and they have, a few other players that, are good players. I'm surprised they haven't been traded yet, in all honesty.
yeah.
But, they're working their way there.
Who else we got? We got Twins, like we said, where they're definitely pretenders. The White Sox are pretenders. That whole division is just sad.
In all honesty, all of the pretenders on this list, if they, keep up this hot stretch, they're going to, they're going to take a lot of teams out of that wild card race.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that are close to first in their divisions, they can hold them back. They can, just irritate the crap out of you at that point in time. They're obviously out this season. And, the Marlins and the Mets, the Mets, they have on paper what should be a great starting pitching staff, except they get injured a lot.
And even if they do have good games, I think it was Syndergaard had like a stretch where he's
really good, and then he got hurt.
Well, no, his ERA was like below one, and he was, I think his record was 1-0, and because those other two games they got blown because of either they didn't get any runs or they're getting blown by their relievers.
Dodgers, they're
always
first
contenders
right now. Yeah, they're always.
They got Machado now.
Yeah, they got Machado. every year, they talk about the San Francisco Giants. This is going to be their year. They had that stretch where it was every other year.
Mm-hmm.
They'd win the World Series, and they got that. They had that staff that was like, oh boy, they can be something special, and then it just
fell apart.
They fell apart. They got McCutchen this year, which was a bold move in my book because, he's kind of over the hill, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he still has a couple more years left in him.
He's got a couple more good years left in him,
I should say.
But, they obviously, they're only, 4 games out right now. I think who's second place? Yeah. The Diamondbacks are in second place. They're only a couple games back. The Dodgers or the Padres are in the desert somewhere.
Nobody knows where they are.
Yeah. I don't even understand how they're allowed to be a team, but obviously.
So we also got the Phillies. I think they'll be contenders.
Yeah, they're contenders. I think they have the NL East. They have that locked down, I think.
Them or the Braves.
Yeah, I guess the Braves are in second right now. But, the Nationals...
Braves are winning they're going to the World Series, remember?
Yeah, exactly. the Nationals,
Sorry, we got a train going by.
The Nationals definitely just kind of let everybody down this year. They were talking Bryce Harper was going to get a $400 million contract, and now he's looking like he's going to get, maybe $150
million. Yeah. Well, Bryce Harper's he's overhyped.
He is overhyped. GMs are coming out and saying that he's
sorry
not.
If you're Bryce Harper fans.
Yeah, sorry. But, GMs and stuff are coming out and saying he's not worth his good isn't worth the risks he brings with it.
Yeah. Once again, sorry. We live pretty close to the train tracks, and we've got a really loud train going by. Probably should have shut our
patio
our door, but that was our fault, I guess.
Yeah.
So just bear with us on the train going by. I think we got through all of them.
All of them. All right.
So that was contenders or pretenders.
Mm-hmm. And now our last segment here, kind of a more fun segment. Me and Jacob are going to talk about pregame rituals and, you know, sports and, you know, how they affect us and whatnot.
We're going to start off with our personal ones back when we were in high school. We're going to live back our glory days,
glory
I guess.
Days of...
And then we'll talk about, like, some of the pros, some of their rituals, too. So you want to start off, or?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Let's see here. I came from the Faribault High School. I played football ninth grade year. You know, obviously left that, you know. They just ended up playing baseball for a very terrible, terrible team and terrible coach, coaches. But my pregame ritual, I mean, obviously, you know, warm up with the team, stretch out, all that stuff that they kind of make you do. But I mean, you know, we'd have, you know, 15, 20 minutes before the game would actually start. I mean, normally, in all honesty, the biggest part of my routine was, you know, going to the bathroom and taking a leak. I mean, I don't know why, but it always, you know, obviously helps you just kind of relax and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, next thing I'd, you know, just, you know, go down the line to, you know, the remaining seniors of my class or whatever. And, you know, I'd give them fist bumps and, you know, shake their hand, and, you know, end up, you know, waiting for the national anthem and, you know, walk out there. And that's pretty much all my routine was. I mean, my morning routine is more than my baseball routine was.
Well, okay, so for me, I played basketball and baseball. And so for basketball, we'd watch the JV team before us, and then we'd go into the locker room at halftime, put on all our gear and whatnot, and then I had a certain way I stretched out in the locker room. I had to do the same stretches the same way every time. Otherwise, I had one or two stretches that I would switch depending upon how I did that game. And if I had a good game, then I'd keep it that way. If I had a bad game, then I'd switch it the other way around. And then we go out, and then we always had our certain things we'd have to do in the warm up, and then you shoot around and whatnot. And then I'd always be done shooting. I'd make my last shot, go into the bench, give coaches fist bumps. And then I just kind of get in my head that, all right, you got to do this. You got to get ready for the game. And then we had our nice little national anthem. And then we always have our handshakes. And so that was basketball. And
well,
then,
I mean, we are talking to a former state champion here.
Granted, I rode the bench on that year.
Yes, but you did play at some point.
I was in when we were up by a lot. I guess I didn't say I'm from BBE High School, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, which is probably almost all of you, is Belgrade Bruton El Rosa High School, which is a very small school.
Yes, in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota.
Somewhere by Alexandria, kind of by St. Cloud, something like that.
And then for baseball, I guess me, myself, I didn't really have anything out of the ordinary I did.
But besides a throwing partner.
Yeah, I'd have same throwing partner, I guess. And then I guess that our team, we'd jog out to center field, and then we'd stretch out there, and we'd sit in a circle, and then before we left, we would all spit, or we'd go down the line. One person would spit, and they'd roll back, do a somersault backwards, and then just keep going like a domino effect. Everybody would just do it, keep doing that, and that was our pregame ritual, and it must have worked because we were two games shy of state that year when we started doing that. So
I guess so. I mean, now we got more, you know, professional ones now. I mean, ours were obviously, you know, stupid high school stuff. I mean, Jacob, you might as well start off with this one.
One of my favorite players in the NBA is Russ Westbrook, and so I think it was 2 or 3 years ago they had Cameron Payne, and they would just do the weirdest dances to start off the game, and then there's that one iconic one when they're playing the Mavs. I can't remember who it was, tried interrupting them, and then Russ just got absolutely pissed off and just shoved the crap out of him, and he was just mad the rest of the game. I'm pretty sure he just had a hell of a game that game. But I just loved watching his little dance routine with Cameron Payne, and then
for half the season,
then of course Cameron Payne ended up getting traded to the Bulls. So I'm sure Russ wasn't happy about that because he didn't have his dancing partner.
Mm-hmm. But he was, you know, loyal enough to stay with the Thunder.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
One that I remember comes to mind or whatever. Pirates. A couple seasons ago, every single game it seemed like they had a new dance. Kind of same thing with Russ and, you know, Cameron Payne, but they had a new dance, and it was kind of, you know, more than two people. It was like the outfield and like a couple infielders or whatever. I mean, that team, you know, it looked like they had choreographed that. I mean, like how all the NFL teams are, you know, I think they spent about 45 minutes practicing their touchdown celebrations now.
The Steelers.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it looked really cool. I mean, it was nice to see, you know, them having fun. I mean, you think of professional sports, you think, you know, they work super hard and whatnot. But, I mean, after all, I mean, it is a game, and some people do take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Another one we got on our list is LeBron James and do his powder thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've at least seen it before. He just goes up to the scorer's table,
grabs a bunch of baby powder.
I don't know if it's baby powder. I thought it was chalk.
Oh yeah, it's chalk.
It's rubs
both. I think.
Yeah, rubs his hands and then he throws it up into the sky. Yeah. And then it just disappears.
I mean, you look at it. I mean, that was one of the most iconic things I remember when he was with the Heat. Is, you know, before the game they'd show him do that, but then like the entire crowd above him that you'd see in that section would do the same exact thing, and it just looked really cool. I mean, the entire crowd got into it.
I mean, I don't think I haven't seen him do it as much lately. Yeah, like, he'll do it every once in a while, but it's not a thing that he does anymore.
And, I mean, we this is kind of more of aggressive pregame ritual. KG, Kevin Garnett, how he had slammed his head into the padding on the basketball hoop there.
Then you just start yelling at himself, too.
Yeah. leads me to believe that he was a little crazy after doing that stuff. But, I mean, then again, you know, that one NFL player would, you know, crack his skull open with his helmet before each game, it seemed like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, another one we have is Ray Lewis doing his iconic dance.
If you haven't
seen it, you'll have to look it up. But he just comes out the field. He's just yelling. He's just doing some weird dance, like... It's hard to recreate, and people have done it, but it's just...
I mean, and then, like, if you ever listen to a video where it's, like, actually close to him, it's just the funniest noises coming out of him, too.
Yep.
I mean, it's not, you know, he's just having a good time with it. I mean, I think that was always the funniest part, is that he's just... just making just a screaming noise, and, you know, everybody's, like, probably thinking he's just like, oh, but it's just... And last one we have here. This one's definitely kind of a very super weird one. Definitely describes a hockey player, Alex Ovechkin. Jacob, what does he do?
He likes to have sex before and after games. So I guess it's not just a pregame ritual. It's also a after-game ritual.
It's proven research that sex makes you better, I guess.
He won the Stanley Cup this year.
I'm not going to look at him the same knowing this, but, I mean, you know, he's going to go down as one of the greats. But, I mean, it's definitely a weird pregame ritual. I mean, I hope he's not doing it, like, in the locker room with his teammates around. I hope it's in a private room or, like, a...
That would maybe cause some issues there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what if he thinks it works, I mean, I guess whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Well.
I guess that was our show.
That's the end of episode uno.
Yeah, hope you liked our first show. We'll try to get episodes out to you weekly. If you enjoyed our show, let us know if you hear this. So, once again, thank you for listening. Have a good one.